This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around the city, and we get to listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, and you might even find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, please make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Indigo D'Souza. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Alisa Ali at WFUV. Alisa, it's so funny because I work at this radio station and I'm still alarmed and pleasantly surprised by how often I find a new artist that I've never listened to before. And Indigo D'Souza was one of those for me. I'm late to the party here, but I'm glad I got here eventually. This album is so good, and she played one of my favorite songs from it today, and we're gonna hear it. But tell me what it was like to catch up with Indigo before. You've probably talked to her already once before. Tell me about this new project.
It's a great new project going in a little bit of a different direction for her, but you know, I think those pop leanings have always kind of been in her music, but now they're really kind of forefront in the production and in the songs on this record. I was so happy to talk to her. She's such a lovely person who's really gone through a lot emotionally, and you can also hear that in her music. And another thing that I really appreciate about her songs is how unafraid she is to let her guard down and just bare her soul and show people, you know, what's happening with her. And I think it's that honesty and recognition of who she is that makes her a full and more rounded musician. And you know, one thing I have to say, I am bummed that I didn't get to talk to her about her relationship with her family, because her mom does the artwork for all of her records. And again, she did the artwork for this. So I encourage everyone to check out her mom's artwork on the record. Of course, it's clear she loves her mom, the name of one of her albums. And she talked a lot about how important family is also, and that her touring band is now her family. And when you listen to them playing, I think you can feel those bonds in the music. And we're going to start off the session with one of my favorite songs. It's hard to pick a favorite song, actually.
Yes.
But one of my favorites is Not Afraid, and I'm not afraid to say that. And I'm very excited that Indigo D'Souza is here in WFUV's Studio A.
When you're in the open, what do you want? What's coming through your heart? When you are listening, what are you hearing? And are you letting it talk? I wanna shake you and wake you up. You should be loving and being loved. There's nothing better. Free when they're with you too. I wanna shake you and wake you up. You should be loving and being loved. There's nothing better than growing closer. We're getting older. We're getting older. I'm not afraid of dying anymore. I'm not afraid.
A live version of Not Afraid, a song from the new Indigo D'Souza record, Precipice, her fourth full-length release, out now. And Indigo, congratulations on the new album. It's fantastic.
Thank you so much.
A great collection of songs. And that song that you just played, Not Afraid, was that one of the first songs you wrote for the record?
Yeah, it was actually the very first one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going out to L.A., to hopefully play pop music with a producer. That's just one of the dreams I've had in my life. And I was put into some blind sessions, which just means going into the studio with someone I've never met and just trying to make something with them and seeing what happens. And I was paired with Elliot Kozel. And yeah, it was a very funny time. We were both kind of feeling like we didn't want to do the session that day. He was kind of hungover, and I just wasn't sure that he was the best musical fit for what I wanted to do. But we ended up immediately hitting it off as people and just really having a lot in common. And then within the first hour of knowing each other, we started writing Not Afraid, and it just came out very quickly. That happens sometimes. Songs just kind of pile out and it, as if they were already written. Yeah, and that's how our friendship started and how our collaboration began.
That's so cool. And it came around, I've heard, I think him talking about it, and he was like floored that you were able to produce something so profound in like 10 minutes. And you clearly had quite a connection with Elliot.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what it is. I'm always wondering that, like, why it was so magical when we first met. I think we were just meant to meet.
So you had the idea that you wanted to make a pop record going into this. What made you decide that was the path that you wanted to go towards? Because previously, you know, you'd been more like indie rock, kind of like soul, you know, soul searching. Mm-hmm. Which you're still soul searching, right?
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
And I'm still indie rock.
Yeah, and you are still indie rock, but you're adding this new pop flavor to it, and it's very pronounced, more so than in your other releases.
Thank you. Yeah. I think that the pop world was always there in my spirit. I just hadn't had an avenue in which to express it. I've always loved pop music. I think it's my favorite kind of music. It's definitely the kind that I listen to more than anything else. So I think, yeah, I've always wanted to embody that, but just didn't really have the tools or didn't know anyone who had any knowledge about those kinds of sounds.
Mm-hmm. I think pop music, I think, kind of gets a bad rap because it's seen as being too, you know, it's called pop music for the reason that it is popular with most people. It's the most accessible kind of music. It's the thing that, you know, people can easily understand and grab onto. Mm-hmm. But that is something that I think is kind of important to you also in having people understand what your lyrics mean, right? Like, you are a very straightforward writer as well. And that is really cool that people can figure out what you're saying and identify with it. Is that something that is forefront in your mind when you're making music so that you can more easily connect with people?
For sure. In some ways, yes. In other ways, I mostly, when I'm making music, don't really think about what people are going to think when they hear it, but it's more so like I'm trying to write the lyrics in a way that makes sense to me and helps me most clearly process the feelings that I'm feeling. But I was really excited about the idea of making pop music and accessible sounding music that had messaging in it that was important for people to hear, because yeah, that just was a magical idea to me, especially like the idea of a pop song being on the radio when you're in CVS and you start to listen to the lyrics, and the lyrics end up meaning something to you that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting how you can hear a song a ton of times and then just, you know, for the thousandth time, it just clicks and you're like, oh, wow. Or it makes you remember something that you hadn't. It kind of unlocks something inside of you.
Totally.
Are there specific artists that influenced you to go in that direction because of their music?
Not quite. I mean, I've always just thought that pop musicians are really magical and it's just wild how we kind of idolize them, or they seem like these separate entities, like people that we can't touch in any way. Like, they just are so far away in reality. But I've always also loved the idea of making pop music as someone who is very reachable, who is very open and personal with my music and with my listeners. But if I had to say one artist who's kind of inspired me by kind of genre bending towards a pop direction, I definitely would say Bon Iver. His stuff just started out very folk, and then he just kept experimenting with more and more sounds and leaned into electronic zone, and I love that about his music.
Yeah, you cannot pin him down, and I love how he just keeps pushing boundaries and refusing to be any one thing, because no one's one thing.
Yeah.
The other thing that is interesting about this song, Not Afraid, is, you know, that it deals with death, and that's kind of a running theme in your music, has been for a long time. That song, I'm Not Afraid of Dying Anymore, I'm Not Afraid of Living Either. Can you talk a little bit about that line? Is that one of the ones that kind of popped out first for you and made it all clear?
Yeah, I think it was really just coming from what I was feeling in that moment. I had just started coming out to LA and was kind of, I just felt very brave and courageous in my music world and in my personal world. I felt like I was really just going out to unknown places and working with unknown people and putting myself in situations that were new and just pushing myself and challenging myself to see how much I could expand my horizons. And I think it was just making me feel less afraid about the world than I normally did.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And I noticed that nature is also kind of a running theme in your music. I know you take inspiration from the natural world. And in fact, you're going to do a song for us called Be Like the Water. Do you want to set this song up for us?
Yeah. I would say this is probably one of my favorite songs on the album, just because the lyrics are really important to me. It's really just mainly about having autonomy and having control of your own body and your own self and your own decisions. Your life and the way that it goes and the path that you take. I think sometimes we as humans can be very, we can really follow other people when we don't know what to do, or just very susceptible to what other people tell us. And I think it's important to just keep your center and remember that you are in control of yourself, and your body is yours, your mind is yours, and you can really, really lean in and listen to yourself and really listen to what your body is telling you.
All right, and we're going to listen to it now here in Studio A at WFUV.
Be like to say. I don't know what comes next. So what? I can make it up as I go. I can lead with my heart. What am I doing here?
A live version of Be Like the Water from Indigo D'Souza, live in Studio A here at WFUV. That song off her excellent new album, Precipice, her fourth full-length record. Congratulations on this record. That was such a great song. And I think this record really signifies a maturity. Not to say that your previous work, but you can see the growth in your music and in your writing, and I can kind of feel it in the way that we're even talking right now. I think you were talking about how in the past, and this is everyone, we have to learn to follow our own path, right? And not just accept other people's versions of happiness and create our own and find our own version of it and be like the water, you know, find your own path, go where you need to go. Can you talk about how you came to that understanding? It's got to be through like hard-won lessons.
Yeah. I mean, it's something to be proud of. I think for anyone who has come to that space on their own, you know, I mean, everyone has such different childhoods and such different upbringings. And yeah, it's a whole thing just being raised a certain way and being put in schools that tell you things, and everyone's telling you how to be and what to do and what you need to amount to. And it's just, it can be very confusing, but I think at some point you start to realize that, yeah, that you can make your own decisions and that you must follow the things that make you the most happy and feel like the most yourself. And yeah, I don't really know if there's a specific moment that happened for me, but it really just happened over time. I kept, I think, just through error, through like following other people's ideals of happiness and just wanting other people to feel comfortable, then slowly realizing how much I was putting myself down in those moments, and how small I was feeling. And yeah, and then slowly just learning to take up space and care about myself and my own feelings, and realizing how important it is to be vocal about what I'm feeling, to be vocal about things I care about, to say things that I mean, how important truth is, and how, yeah, just rewarding it can be to really follow your own truth and share that with other people, because not only does that help lead you in a direction that brings you to your own happiness, but it also helps other people feel comfortable to do the same.
Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about placing importance on one's own mental health, because this is something I think that a lot of us struggle with on our own. And we think, well, maybe I'm just crazy, or there's something wrong with me and I'm not going to investigate more. Or maybe it's just, that's life. This is the lot I've been given. Talk about being proactive in trying to deal with what's going on inside of your mind.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting because we're all so different. Everybody has different ways of operating in their brain. Like, no one is the same. And yeah, like in this song, Be Like the Water, I say I am an island, meaning no one will ever know what it's like in my brain. And what I've found as someone who struggles with severe mental illness, which I'm sure you can hear in my music, is that the most important tool to me ever, out of all the tools I know, is curiosity. Being really curious about myself and what's happening within me, but also being curious about other people and how they're operating in their brain. And as long as you are curious about yourself and other people and open to communicating and talking about the inner workings of your world and collaborating and having compassion with each other, then you can really do anything and you can really have long-lasting relationships that are really important and special and deep. And that's really what life is all about, I think.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you're more honest with yourself about, you know, even what might be considered a shortcoming, then you can kind of deal with things in a different way. Like when you label something, you're like, okay, well, now I know. Mm-hmm. And now I know that I can deal with this or go about this in a different way. I think sometimes people are afraid to let down their guard and to, you know, acknowledge that they are different.
Yeah.
And then once you do acknowledge that everyone is different and I myself am different, then you're able to create your own path.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to get one more song into this set, and you're going to do Crying Over Nothing, mm-hmm. which is also another great song. Can you talk a little bit about this song and what your next steps are also? Because you pretty quickly are making music. You're kind of like, I'm touring. You've come to the end of your touring cycle for this album, right?
We're doing a little more next year.
Oh, you are. Okay.
In the spring, we're going to do a couple more tours on the down to Florida and then the Texas area and then over to the West Coast.
Actually, mm-hmm. hold on a second. Let me talk about, so like the stress of touring is, it's intense to be touring, right?
Yeah.
So I'm saying you're coming to the end, or you've been on the road for a while now. Like the record came out a while ago this year.
Yeah.
And so you've been taking it around to a bunch of people. Talk about how the tour has been going and, you know, the pros and cons of being on tour and the pros and cons of being back in your quote unquote real life.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually very happy to say that ever since this album has come out, it's been a really positive effect on my life. And touring has been really hard for me in the past, and it is hard for me now too. But I've really, really honed in the perfect band and crew. We're getting better and better at the system. We're getting better at routing. We're getting better at, just at all parts of it. Integrating things that are important to us within the tour. For example, this tour, I had the idea to put boards up when people come into the venue that has a question, poses a question on the board, and then people can write their answer on sticky notes and put it on the board. And then I read my favorite ones the next day on Instagram. And it's just like a cute way to connect with people. I've been doing VIP meet and greets and just talking to people face to face before I do the show, and then they're in the front row usually, which is just really nice to have that connection. Just finding ways to be connected has been really helpful, and I'm just really grateful. My crew is like my family, like really, really. We are so close and we love each other so much. It's very special.
So you think you'll work with this crew again for your next record?
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay.
It's I am used to people dropping out and new people coming in. That's been happening since I started touring 10 years ago. But I'm grateful for whatever time I do have with the people in my crew. And a lot of people in my crew have been with me for a long time, like years. I'm excited to record music with them and keep making stuff.
Cool. Well, we are so grateful that you stopped by WFUV and have been able to share this new record with us, Precipice, and you're going to play us out with one last song, and that's Crying Over Nothing. Thanks so much, Indigo.
Thank you.
What's it take? see right through. I don't ever want to sway you, babe. I want you to do what you want to do. I guess I gotta get on with it. It's only hurting holding on to this. And I promise that I can get over you. Maybe someday we can just be friends. I still love you like I did at the start. Barely surviving. I hate being apart.
That was Indigo D'Souza performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Indigo for joining us in our studio and to Concord. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Aaron Merriman, Nadia Garriga, and Thomas Lapis. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producer for this episode was Gwen Taylor. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV live sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. Please rate and review the show if you like what you hear so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Alisa Ali.